Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 22nd, 81st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisorette Virginia Bass.
Did you say the 22nd? I believe.
No, I said the 20. I did. I wrote it down. The 21st.
You know, I thought it could have been me, but okay. I'm glad it was you.
Yeah.
This time.
I sense that I will hear about that regularly throughout this program, huh?
I might bank that for months to come.
Oh. Save it up. Okay, fine. Great dandy. We've got a whole bunch of different things that are going on at the County Super's Chambers. We've got Occupied. We've got the state report that was rejected. We've got airplanes. We've got all kinds of different stuff. So it promises to be... Oh, and we have meetings tonight.
Yes, we do.
So see, we got four different things. We got four different segments, and we'll get to them all when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 416. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from John Kennedy. Quote, "Peace does not require that each man love his neighbor. It only requires that they live together with mutual tolerance, submitting their disputes to a just and peaceful settlement."
Very nice.
I know. I thought that was kind of a cool one.
It's kind of like you can disagree, but you don't have to be disagreeable. I mean, people can talk and have differences of opinion
and do it. I like the one we fight like cats and dogs and go out and have a beer afterwards.
That can work, too. It's, you know, a little different visual.
The lawyer thing. You know,
the old day politician thing.
Well, I suppose. But, you know, politics seems to get so personal so quick. Or it's taken personal so quick.
I don't understand that.
I don't agree with your opinion. Obviously, then I don't like you or the horse that you rode in on. What?
Yes, it's too easy
to make that link, but it seems like everybody's at that point now.
It didn't used to be that way. Well, maybe it did, but we didn't notice it.
Or we were just too silly to recognize it. So which one of these bad boys you want to start with?
You know, I think the airline, since it starts with the letter A. We're gonna go alphabetical.
Ooh, that's just gonna put the challenge right out there for me, huh?
Well, we already started with a numerical challenge. Now we'll go alphabetical.
Okay. Yeah. Airplanes. I'm sure you've heard some of the commercials that are running, and some of the editorial opinions about the guarantee. Should it be? Should it not be? Should it be for American? Should it be for somebody else? Do we want North also? Do we want East also? Can we afford all three? Do you treat them all the same? Do you treat them all separately? Blah, 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 blah. What's the current status?
Well, I can give you the best update that I have from our board meeting yesterday. And I think you're right. There's a lot of discussion about the revenue guarantee concept and the idea. And one thing I do want to point out is while Delta was a very bad experience, there are always things you learn from bad experiences, such as you don't wait till the end of a 2-year period to decide whether ridership was low and have someone walk off with the guarantee at once. Whatever this looks like in the future, because things are still being negotiated, there's nothing set in stone, but the concept would be to check in much more frequently, perhaps on a monthly basis, quarterly. And it's like an escrow account.
Managing a situation rather than waiting for it to manage you.
Yeah. And so it's like an escrow account where you dip in and the months they fall short. Another thing that we've talked about is there'd be a 120-day notice for both sides. So say the community here says this just isn't working, there is the opportunity to say we're done. Same with an airline. They would have that same opportunity, and therefore that guarantee would only be available to them for that 120 days after when notice is given. It's not like they could leave the market early and take it all with them.
Now, I heard, and I don't know if this was a hope or if this was an actual, that instead of month-by-month standalone, that it would be a rolling 3-month average. Did that come to pass?
That actually is part of the discussions. When I say the negotiations are still happening, I have to kind of back up a bit and say the FAA, due to some regulations, informed the county and the airport that we're not the ones that can negotiate. So that is where REDEC has been brought into the equation, you know, Redwood Region Economic. In many ways, as a third party to do the negotiations, but also to administer the loan, because the county, there's just restrictions on why we can't, you know, it's like handling your own money. So they're like a third party who would be doing the negotiations and administering the loan. Now, the county, however, definitely benefits by, paying back the loan to the extent that it really leverages outside revenue coming in, because for every passenger that comes in.
You mean other people's money?
Well, federal funds, yes. And that is other people's money. But if it's going to go to somewhere in the United States, we'd like it to come here when possible. So basically, for every passenger that lands, there's a fee of about $4, and I think it's 80 cents. And, you know, that the more passengers that come, the more fees you collect. And in about a year, that would be another $200,000, which could leverage up to $3.8 million of funds to do improvements. So anyway.
It sounds really positive. The lesson learned from Delta was not checking in, or was it not having a real partnership with them?
Boy, of course, this is my opinion. I think it's both of those, because Delta didn't even come to town. American, at this point, has at least sent someone and has said, we will be there. I think another one of the issues with Delta was perhaps there wasn't a realistic look at how many people are we actually going to be sending in those planes over to D.C. And one of the things that's very positive about looking at a route to LAX, I mean, there's a few. In the past, Horizon was averaging 35,000 passengers a year. These planes that go over, two a day, 44 seats apiece, the maximum that American, if we chose to go with American, could fit were 32,000 seats, you know, passengers per year. So already you have a demand that's larger than the capacity, which should help, you know, as far as the demand or the revenue guarantee. And then another point to consider that I'm sure you've heard is San Francisco is going to do a three-year construction project where one of the runways...
Yeah, what a middle midget move that one was, huh?
Well, and it's...
Let's cut capacity in half.
Right, and we were told that was going to start in June, but even this week as they started doing the staging for it, Ryan Sundberg had a friend in town, could not fly out because of the staging of the airport construction, and so we already, you know, being impacted.
So... What is the role of the Airport Advisory Committee in this discussion? Are they part of this discussion, or were they formed for something different?
You know, that's a really good question. The Airport Advisory Committee has certainly been involved, I believe, in the peripheral discussion. Greg Foster is involved in both that committee and was involved from REDEC. And then there's Fly Humboldt, and to be, you know, up front with you, I'm not exactly certain what part they have in this actual process. But, you know, they certainly have input on, you know, improvements and different things happening at the airport. But as far as actual negotiations, I don't believe they have an actual part in that.
Well, or as a third party, would they have qualified rather than REDEC? Or are they still too close because they're...
I think because my thought would be quasi-county. Well,
kind of, sort of.
Yes, but the REDEC also has, you know, they have the ability to administer loans, and the Airport Advisory Committee doesn't have anything set up like that.
KINS, News and Information Times, 424. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live and we revere it, the Northwood spirit, Northwood Chevrolet.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 428. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, last week, I believe it was, that the county's most recent attempt at getting the state to accept the report as part of the general plan was scuttled. Am I being nice? Shot out of the air, blown up, take whatever analogy you want to use.
Asked to revisions.
Yes. Where does that leave the county? I mean, at some point, I would think the credibility of anything associated in that subject area has got to be called into question and would have to be double-checked. I mean, if you can't count to 10, somebody's going to come in and count it for you, even though you say one thing.
Trying to figure out where do I start?
Well, realize you only have 2.5 minutes, so you don't have to go too deep.
2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I can, you know, believe me, when I went in this job, I thought that the county had done a very poor job of getting the land inventory situated. And I believe Ryan Sundberg went in. We both felt that there needed to be changes. Where I'm going to differ, and probably unfortunately with some of the folks who are listening, is I believe we really have worked towards getting a better count and a better, get the suitable properties for the multifamily dwellings. And it is somewhat frustrating to me. It was disappointing for certain to see it come back again. And yes, there are questions like, this is the sixth time. Why can't you guys get it right? But in doing some research behind it, there's actually several other communities in the state who are experiencing a very similar situation.
Just as incompetent?
No, actually, there's a certain amount of, how do I put this? It's being seen in a lot of these letters that people are getting that in some ways HCD or Housing and Community Development may be overreaching their statutory boundaries in requiring certain things that may not be required by statute. Now,
so let's step back. Do you think that the facts that were presented in the report to the state, whether or not they may have been accepted, were accurate?
I believe to the larger extent, yes. There were some properties that certainly I wouldn't think would be appropriate. There were some that were within the tsunami runoff zone, and I think those being called into question make absolute sense. One of the other ones that apparently has been scratched off were the properties in McKinleyville that Greg Pearson, in very, very public open settings, meetings, said, I want to do this, I want to be, you know, part of this, yes, please rezone. And those were thrown out. That's 200. And they were thrown out over, we're not even at this point getting the actual information of why. So that's one of the issues. We need to know more.
It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, as you look at some of the challenges that are out there, I would suggest nothing has been more thorn in the side than what you have on the front porch of the courthouse. It's ugly. It's nasty. People are, I'm hearing intrinsically from conversations, people are avoiding them. They're embarrassed by what this makes the city look like. Granted, it's county, but it embarrassing what it looks like,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. At what point, well, and then there's the internal stuff, you know, is it legal, is it not legal? Are we going to prosecute or is it not? Is somebody saying something one way and then saying something else, depending on who they're talking to? So you got kind of in a microcosm there, a lot of frustration for a lot of us in the county focused in on this situation that has been allowed to take on a life of its own. What, we got three or four of them in the country?
There are not many. That's probably about accurate for what I've heard.
Yeah. So what's, as we got an update with the airport, current status, what's an update with your front lawn, current status?
Well, and you're certainly right that it is probably one of the more challenging things we face every day, because it's, for years, it's been a site of protesting. The county courthouse has been a place where people have gone for years, but nothing has ever been quite had the manifestation that this one has taken on. And you know, you can argue about whether Occupy is about the actual, you know, Occupy concept. Is it about, you know, this is the place
if
where
it was
the
logging
are.
Community or
yes.
the fishing community, and it was being dealt with and handled the same way, and they were there handling it and dealing with it the same way, I don't think it would change the argument or the concern that a lot of us have.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And currently, the county is putting together a comprehensive ordinance to deal with use of county properties on a wider scale. But this week, Supervisor Smith did bring forward the concept of perhaps we should look at an urgency ordinance to start dealing with health and safety issues, because there's certainly enough information and information that's been collected that shows that there is a real threat to health and safety, whether it's because people are, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing, that they're using it as a restroom. That's obviously a public health safety issue. People putting up impeding traffic on the sidewalks or so people can't get in the building is a safety issue if you ever need to, you know, get out. Parking cars on the road on the left-hand side of a highway with half the car sticking in the lane is certainly a safety issue. So there's enough information that something needs to be done and needs to be done quickly. And yesterday, the board did give the go-ahead for an urgency ordinance to come to the board. It'll be heard next week in the morning session. And generally what an urgency ordinance is basically saying there is an emergency that exists, health and safety, something needs to be done quickly. It has to pass by a 4/5 vote, but instead of the 30 days that a normal ordinance takes to go into effect, it goes in effect immediately.
Like that afternoon?
Next day
kind of thing?
I would say next day to be safe. It could be, you know, but it's not, you don't have to wait 30 days. And what that will do is put that in place for the interim period while the other ordinance is being worked on, because you need to take.
So it's kind of like a stopgap.
It is. It's an emergency stopgap, so things don't get worse. And there's certainly, we've had a lot of folks calling us, stopping us in the grocery stores. They are really upset about it, just like what you've said. The unfortunate thing is their concerns aren't being heard by the public, because obviously many times when it comes to meeting times, folks are working and they can't come.
Or in the public setting for the public record, yeah.
Right. And so yesterday, I think we had two or three folks who spoke saying there's a problem, and the majority of people were not of that same mind. So it really does make it hard from a legislator or elected person standpoint.
You're not going down that road, are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm saying we need people to be there.
You know what's a problem? Everybody there knows it's a problem, because you have 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 vocal minorities there
Yeah, just all I'm saying is email us. We're real easy to reach by email, and that counts as being on the record.
Here, let me write it in on your Palm Pilot.
There's nothing written today.
No, I just did though. You got my vote now.
Thank you.
Okay. As you look at this situation, though, I would think one of the most disturbing things that could possibly have happened is when the county DA said that he wasn't going to prosecute.
Yeah.
And holy cow, talk about getting your knees knocked out from under you. That's how I would have interpreted it.
Yeah.
How did you folks?
I think it felt very much the same way. I believe that there was an understanding that there would be prosecution and that there would a process to deal with the infractions, the arrests, and, you know, do it the right way, just take care of the problem. And unfortunately, when that came out about not prosecuting, it caused everything to be just thrown up in the air. I mean, the police, why, if you were a police officer or sheriff or whichever law enforcement agency, you're not going to be arresting someone if you know they're going to be popped right back out. It's just an absolute waste of your time and resources. So that's one of the very important parts of this process next week is having the DA and the Eureka PD and the sheriffs all there saying, we are with you on this, because if they're not, it's not going to do any good.
KINS, News and Information Times, 441. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Virginia, you got a meeting tonight, what, about an hour and 15 minutes or so?
Yes, you're going to be there, right?
What great fun should we all expect to see?
Well, you know, I've been talking for about a month now about these community budget sessions, and this is the first one I've got to attend. It's one that's intended for 4th District and 1st District. It's out at the Ag Center off of Humboldt Hill Road. And it promises to be a very lively time. I'm sure we should have brought food. We just talked about that. We should have brought food and snacks that would have, made sure that we had more
folks
there.
If you wanted lively, tap into a couple of kegs.
I wasn't going to say that, but we could have a beer and a... No.
Yeah, a little beer tasting before the meeting, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, however, I'm looking forward to hearing what community members have to say before the budget actually comes out. Last time we were all reactionary, and it's different to be approaching it ahead of time. I think it's a great idea to be proactive. I'm wondering, however, how many folks are actually going to come, because people are more motivated when they know that something they care about is kind of on the chopping block, so to speak. So I'm hoping that we have some community members there giving us their thoughts. And, if nothing else, it's a good exercise for us to go through to be ready when we start doing the budget hearings. And in the next couple of months, we are actually having all the department heads come to our special Monday night meetings and give us...
Yeah, the dog and pony show.
Yeah, but it's a different setting this time. It's more in the less formal setting of, the room to the, room down the hall. It's not the big podium and microphones and PAs. It's just a casual opportunity for them to tell us what they do.
So what are you looking for tonight? If you get 10 people showing up, but they all have well thought arguments, maybe not even agreeable, but well thought out. Okay. 50 people showing up, and maybe, a couple cheap comments from everybody, and that's it. What are you looking for? An idea? Are you just looking to see if anybody really cares enough to show up? Which,
well, that
might
be
a great, I mean, that may be a thing too. If you're not willing to show up, fine, okay, we'll handle the responsibilities ourselves. Thank you. We understand. And not worry too much about the crowd size.
Well, you know, and I think that's a decision point. I'm going to be sitting, you know, I'll be sitting there in about an hour and 15 minutes, and I can tell you exactly then.
Looking for the keg of beer, I know.
You know, but truly, we do want people with ideas, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it can be as simple as I support, you know, public safety, or perhaps someone has an idea of how something can be done differently. I think what we as local governments have to start doing is not just, you know, being our own little island. I think it's time to actually start working, you know, maybe at the city of Eureka. Are there things that we can do together? Are there ways that we can combine? Not necessarily, you know, you don't, how do I put this? Are there ways that we can do it better, like perhaps locating in the same buildings? Are there ways, you know, there's things that we need to do
just
to think out of the
things.
Box. And yeah. It's, you know, people might have some great ideas come from just the most simplest public comment every once in a while. And, you know, I can't remember the other night or the other day, a comment, one of the speakers who comes to our meetings very frequently said something that was absolutely dead on, amazing. And you're going, oh, you know, you just have to listen and people bring things forward. And hopefully next time we speak, I can tell you about some great idea.
The thing that I'm always curious about are recommendations that are made from folks who are well-intentioned but ignorant to the application of the idea. You can't blend funds, for example.
No,
you can't do this or that because of state regulations or federal regulations. Great idea, yes, it could, but we can't. And then dealing with the pushback because, yeah, it was a great idea, but we can't implement it. Somebody else has said we can't do that.
Well, and one of the very similar lines as to what you're saying is there's also, you know, what looks like, you know, let's just pick the number $16 million over here. Is money that, you know, is grant funded for a specific purpose, same reason. And so it's not like getting rid of a whole entire department will all of a sudden make that money available. And that's probably one of the hardest things to explain or to even understand sometimes, because you're going, in my house, I have one account with subaccounts. I'm getting the countdown here.
Yeah. It's time to count out.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by. Have fun tonight.
I will. I'll let you know all about it.
Thank you. Thank you. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.